checking. We are recording a conversation with Hazel Whitaker in Laverne, California, on the 6th of February, 1978, and we will be relating some things about McPherson College. So that's what we're working. We'd be glad for you to tell us anything you'd like about your entry into McPherson College, or for that matter, your home background, anything that would let us know about you.
Well, I was born and raised in Red Cloud, Nebraska. My parents and I came to California in the winter of 1909 and 10, and I met Fanna Snader at that time, whose mother was a member of the Church of the Brethren, as was my sister-in-law, Ethel Whitaker. And Fanna attended McPherson in 1912 and 13, I think it was. And in 1914, she didn't have a roommate, so she wrote and asked me if I'd like to come to college and be her roommate. So I did. And my first semester, I took a business course because I didn't have any idea what I wanted to take. And then I took music and graduated in 1916. Vocal department under Professor Rowland.
What kind of a person was Professor Rowland?
Oh my, he was very likable. He was just a very, very nice person, and he could get the best out of anybody.
Do you know where he came from here?
East someplace.
Yes,
I'm not sure whether it's Pennsylvania.
I was going to say there are some Pennsylvania Rowlands. I wondered whether he came from
I
there.
I think perhaps he might have.
Were there very many people in the music program then? How many of you would there have been, like yourself, who would have been taking degrees this way?
They were, I'm trying to think, there was three or four graduates. Arthur Price, Sarah Thompson, Sally, and Melba Murphy, and myself. Mm-hmm. I think the music, the vocal department was just new that year in 14, 15.
What did you do, that is, what constituted your music program? Did you take a lot of classes in voice and what, piano and instrumentation?
I took classes in piano under Professor Muir. It was his last year to teach there. And sometimes he'd spend more time admiring my blouse or something than we did play piano. He was a dear old gentleman. And then I took vocal lessons, and I did a lot of accompanying for soloists and the men's glee club, sang the girls' glee club. And
did you have small vocal ensembles? Did you sing in
Yes,
trios?
I was a member of the girls' quartet and the girls' glee club.
What? Where did you perform with these small groups?
Mostly there at college. We did. We put on. I've forgotten the Creation Cantata at the Opera House in McPherson. And
just let me interrupt you now. This was the music department of the college.
The music department.
Did you sell tickets for that presentation? Do you
remember? I don't know. I imagine so.
Would as you remember it, was the place pretty well filled?
Oh, yes.
People mm-hmm. supported that around
yes.
the town.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. They did. And I was also soloist at the, I believe it was the Presbyterian Church downtown. Our mailman, Roy Kettle, I believe was his name, asked me to help out in some of their choir and do some solo work.
Would that name have been Kittell, Kittell?
Might have been.
Did he play an organ?
No, I don't think so.
There are some Kittells there now who are organists.
Well, there might be some relation to him, but he did come out and take part sometimes in some of our choral work.
I suppose organizations around town would have you come in and sing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did the group normally get paid for that, or this is never any pay for this kind of thing?
I think so. Once in a while, when I'd sing a solo at the church, he would give me a dollar, and I often thought, cents. I bet it came out of his pocket. Because it did take my time, and it was a mile or so down there.
How did you get there? Walk?
Walk. Oh, everything. Sure. We walked.
Well, if it was a Presbyterian church down in South Main at that time?
I don't remember where it was.
If it was that
remember.
Church, it was more than a mile. It would have been a mile.
Well, we didn't think anything of walking.
Across County Cornered from the Opera House?
It could have been.
That church is right now being torn down, incidentally. The Presbyterian church,
they
built a new one in a new development in the north end of town.
Well, I haven't been through McPherson for years and years.
Well, you ought to come back, sis. You wouldn't know the place.
I know. My husband and I drove through there on our way home one time from Nebraska. And I said, I'd like to drive out to College Hill. And the library was the only building I recognized.
When was that?
Oh, I imagine 12, 15 years ago.
Tell us more about your biographical sketch since you left college, that is, about your family, your husband, and so forth.
Well, let's see. I taught piano in my hometown for a while, played for church, and weddings and funerals, and then my mother and sister and I came to California in 1918 for my grandfather's 80th birthday, and I got married and stayed here. I had met my husband for the first time in 1910, but he was a little older than I was. But I always thought if I ever got married, I was going to marry someone like Roy Whittaker. Mm-hmm. He was just my idol, but I never dreamed of marrying him, however.
Where was he from?
He was from our hometown, Red Cloud. But we lived out in the country, and I didn't know him at that time. And he played saxophone, and of course I played the piano a bit, and we had interesting times together.
What was his work or your work since then?
When he first came to California, he worked in a sugar beet factory. He was a foreman over, I've forgotten what department. And then he what was his title in the shipyard factory during the war. It was considered government work.
Now, where was
that? In San Pedro.
San Pedro.
Mm-hmm. And then when we moved, we were married and moved into Los Angeles, he was an electrician and did a lot of electrical work on new school buildings and airports out in the desert during the war.
And you've been, how long have you been in this location?
Well, he passed away February the 5th, just 5 years ago.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. And his sister and her husband had lived here in Laverne for many years. And another sister knew a lot of people here. And of course, there are several McPherson people living here. And when my husband passed away, I knew I didn't want to live in Los Angeles anymore, especially in the location where we were living. And I couldn't think of any place I would rather settle than Laverne. And friends recommended this particular park after I had looked at several mobile home parks. And I've been very happy here.
That's fine.
Wonderful people, good neighbors, and people are interested in you.
Do you have some community things here? The clubhouse
oh, yes.
we came by.
Yes. There's plenty of activities if a person wants to participate. And you aren't duty bound if you don't care to. And we have potluck dinner the last Friday of the month, the Shoot and Hope Club. It's a camera club. And, they're sewing art. Pinochle.
Well, that's really worthwhile. Now, what happens, do you rent or do you buy a location, or what happens?
I bought my coach. You buy your coach, but you rent the property.
Did you move your own coach in here?
No, it was here.
You bought it on site?
Yes, it was already here when I moved here. And our rent is steadily increasing, but it is every place. So I like it here very much. Glad I'm able to drive my car.
It looks to me like you do a lot of things very well. Do you still sing any?
Oh, no. My voice has gone clear down the basement. And I don't seem to have enough breath anymore. When I'm in church, I try to sing a little bit, and I just have to quit. I get dizzy. No, I wish I had kept up my voice. But you just have to be in the choir or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, you spoke about Professor Muir.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give us a character sketch of that man? You made just a little interesting sidelight, but there must be lots of others. Now, you said he was along in years by that time.
Yes, that was his last year there.
How old would he have been then? Do you have any idea?
I imagine he must have been in his 70s.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Gladys 75. Around here in those years? Did you know Gladys?
She was at McPherson at that time, and then she later taught here. Laverne, and my sister attended Laverne College and had the class under Miss Muir. And Mr. Muir and Mrs. and Gladys, they were all such tiny, tiny people, tiny bone, fine featured. And Professor Muir did lots of accompanying when I first went there, as I remember. But he told me that he wasn't a natural accompanist.
Did you believe that? Would you agree with him on that? I mean, what would have been your assessment?
Yes, I think so. He was a fine pianist, but he said he wasn't so good at accompanying.
Well, he was also interested in art and lots of things,
wasn't he?
Oh,
yes. He did lots of painting. And he promised me one of his paintings before he moved, but I never got it.
Did you feel he was a pretty good artist?
Yes. Yes, I thought he was.
The pictures of the man look a little different. Of course, we don't really know him now. Would he have been... how would... if he walked into a room, what sort of response? I'm really trying to get some feel for what kind of a guy he was. Was he... Was he effeminate?
Not too much.
Not
a little
much.
Bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Was
because
he a dreamer?
Well, I don't know as he was, but he always noticed what I was wearing, a certain blouse or something, and he would compliment me on it. And he was very sociable, very, very easy to talk with.
Now, this blouse business, would this have been, a public relations move to make you feel good, or was the man looking? He's always looking for artistic things. Well, he just noticed everything. I'm just trying to get some assessment of how what he was reading.
Well, he probably wanted to put me at ease. Uh-huh. Might have been. I say blouse now. At those times, they were shirtwaists. But he was a wonderful man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know his reputation stands out, and mm-hmm. Quite know. Would you think that most students would have felt about him like you did? Kindly man,
oh, yes.
Helpful man?
Yes, I couldn't help it.
Would he have had pretty good enrollments in his classes, perhaps?
I imagine he had a full schedule. Uh-huh. I just imagine he did.
You don't have any way of knowing how the town might have received him, or whether did he do things
no.
in the town? Did he do any?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm no reason to assume that you should, but I just,
after all, I'm going to be 83 years old next month.
Well, you look like you ought to be 53, so that ought to come out about right. Well, let's see who else was around there who comes to mind, either staff or students, when you were there.
Well, Thompson and I used to sing duets together quite a bit. And some people thought we were sisters.
Is that right?
I didn't know us very well. And my Christmas card this year came back that it was not forwardable. So I'm afraid she's in a rest home.
Now, where has she been?
She lived in Liberal, Kansas. She lived there ever since we were out of school, I guess. And,
do you know where her home was originally? Was she you don't know where she came from?
It was near where the Mishlers lived. Floyd and...
It wouldn't have been out around Conway.
Conway,
Well, she would have been real close then to that person. Well, I know there have been some Thompsons a few times. Is someone, are we keeping someone out of your
house? I did not. I should have just said, what? No, what do you want?
Well, you're talking about the ladies who came to call on you here.
Oh, yes.
Here in Laverne.
Ladies from the Church of the Brethren came to call, and they hadn't introduced themselves because they were having difficult time finding a place to park, and I went out and invited them in, and they asked if I was a member of the church, and I told them yes, I was baptized into the church at McPherson College. And one lady said, well, then you must have known the debtors. And I said, oh yes, I was engaged to Clint. And she says, well, I married him. So that was a funny coincidence. I can't remember her name, but I told her that Theanna Snader was my roommate my first year, well, both years I was there, and she said, well, she was Theanna's cousin. So, and I can't remember her name, and I must find out. But considered kind of the, well, we both wore quite a bit of jewelry, and I remember Professor Roland mentioning one time to us that some of the older members of the church didn't like to see us wear so much jewelry, and that when we appeared in a chorus or something to sing before the congregation, just to not wear so much jewelry.
Now, your own background was such that this didn't bother you. I mean, you were accustomed to wearing jewelry, but...
Yes, we were accustomed to it, but I knew the brethren weren't. They were very plain.
Did you think most of the students at that time were that plain?
Most of
the students would have been.
Theanna and I were kind of, I don't know, bright, I guess. Just a little different than the rest of them, in a way.
Uh-huh.
Kind of mischievous. She was. I wasn't.
Well, I've heard it. I
went along with her.
But you can't do it when your roommate's on it. You can't help yourself, kid.
No.
Were there many pranks around in the dormitories?
Well, I don't know. Tell this, but I had gone to a basketball game one night with Clinton, and we didn't get home till about, what was it, a little after 10, I guess. The matron had to open the door for me, and just as he started down the front steps, a bucket of water was poured on him from upstairs, and the matron shook her head, because, oh dear, Miss Brubaker. And she says, those girls have been so naughty all evening. And she says, I don't know what to do about it. Well, when I got up to my room, they said, now we've all done something, some prank, and now you'll have to do something. I said, well, what shall I do? And they said, well, roll the trash barrel down the steps. And the matron's room was right next to the stairway. So we quietly carried it down to the landing and tied a string on it, and so the girls saw that I pulled the string to get the trash barrel, and oh, what a racket it made. Everybody in bed. And oh, we hopped in bed so quickly. The matron came up and she opened the door. She was always, knew Theanna was always into everything. She said, Theanna, do you know anything about that trash barrel going downstairs? Theanna says, no, ma'am. And she didn't ask me. I'd probably told her yes, I did it, but she didn't ask me, so.
Well, now, was this Arnold Hall, or was this
Harnick? Was it
Arnold?
Was it the one that
part
the
part
boys?
Of Bonnestock.
Penstock Hall, I think, because the boys were in one end of the building and the girls in the other.
Well, when I was a student, I lived in that dormitory, and I'm sure some trash barrels went down the steps in, so you didn't do anything that unique.
Oh, well, one time, Fiona's friend, Bob Robinson, he was always giving her a box of candy, but he says he never saw any of it. So this time, he was going to keep it in his room. And if we wanted any, we'd have to come over there and ask him for it. So one evening after our studying was done, Fiona says, let's go and get some candy from Bob. So we went out in front of his room. She threw a rock to attract his attention, and it broke the window. And we ran as fast as we could around back to the library, and she had on a taffeta petticoat. And he came in, some of the boys came out, and we came walking up the walk as nonchalant as could be, and he said he knew it was us because he heard her petticoat going swish, swish, swish as we were running away. But that's about all of it.
Well, it's real interesting.
Naughtiness we did.
Well, it's not too naughty. And I think so many times, you know, this kind of thing we'd never get from the college catalog nor anywhere else in the printed page.
Oh, no.
And if you read the catalog, you'd think everybody was straight-laced and the right words were said to appeal to the right kind of public.
Well, most of the girls in the dormitory were real good.
I suppose several of them would have been going in the direction of Christian service of some kind, probably,
yes,
would they?
Yes, no doubt, uh-huh. No doubt. And by the way, I was also on the council of the YWCA. Mm-hmm. So I guess they tried to reform me. No, but we had very, very pleasant times. And I think after I got home that summer, I realized that it was the college atmosphere and Clinton's family that I was more in love with than I was with him. It just kind of dawned on me that was what I was thinking about more.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a real testimony to the atmosphere in which you lived. I could say for myself, McPherson College really turned me around, because it introduced me to a world that I mm-hmm. just wasn't familiar with.
Absolutely. It was a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere, and I've always been grateful for it.
Well, that's great.
Enjoyed it. His wife is the sister
Wampler
to, no, she was Grossnickel.
Yes, yes. Her first husband was a Wampler.
Oh, well,
right.
She is a sister to my niece's husband.
Well, now take that a little.
Lori Whitaker, that lives in Hillcrest Homes. He's 96 years old now. He's a retired minister. He preached in Emmitsburg, and then they had him in Lewiston, Minnesota, to replace until they could get a new minister. And he preached there for 8 years until he was 85.
And now, Lori Whitaker, who is... I'm a little confused.
His name is really Loring, L-O-R-I-N-G. But
did he go as L.A. Whitaker?
Yes, Lori Whitaker. He was attended McPherson College.
When?
He and... Oh, dear. Before I've worn it, I don't know.
Is he,
and
he
the Thrones and the Wagners, Jesse Wagner and Ira.
Well,
were old timers.
Is his mind clear now? If we talk to him,
sometimes he could probably get things right. He's very forgetful. He now I can go down. I take him very often in the car when I go someplace. And I said to him the last time, I said, now, will you remember to write to Willa and tell her that that we went to the shopping center. He didn't know, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. He knows he can.
Yeah.
But now he might. I think if something is questioned him, he can answer. He, mm-hmm. I mean, he can recall.
Well, especially
things.
Out of an earlier time, this might come back. Mm-hmm. Now, L.A. Whitaker, see, we've been around the church up in Kansas, and he was around there, wasn't he, at Lone Star one time?
Yes. Yeah, he was in Lone Star, and then there's another
I see. Well, I'm trying to figure out how you got, who's Fern related to? You said she was...
Schechter?
Yes, I didn't get that.
Lori's daughter, Willa, married Edgar Grossnickel, and Fern is Edgar's sister.
All right.
He had two sisters and a brother.
Grossnickel.
Edgar Grossnickel.
Oh, sure, now I know. Well, now. Yeah, now we're coming.
$50,000 to the college.
Yeah, well, see that. And that same Whitaker's daughter.
Yeah.
Is Mrs.
Maury Lichty.
Yes. And they're in the McPherson Church, and they're in our Sunday school class, and we see them
Mabel
every
Alice.
Once.
And
yeah. Oh boy, here we go again. And this represents the end of the conversation with Hazel Whitaker.